I'm wondering if anyone would know what I'm going to read about today. I'm going to read, can I give you a little clue? From the Old Testament. That help you? Nobody knows. A psalm, that's right. Yes. Psalm number 23. Well, I'm going to read Psalm 23 with you today. When I was a little boy going to meetings of one kind and another and going to various places, I never liked to go along to a place and find that somebody read out of some obscure place that I knew nothing about. I rather felt at home when they read about something I had already read as a younger boy. And I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm, and I'm sure that everyone here today has read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we know that God always blesses the public reading of his word. Now this is a beautiful psalm. There are 150 psalms, and I think, if I may speak for all, that this psalm, Psalm number 23, is likely the best known and best loved of all. I just mention this in passing, it's the language of a sheep. We have never heard a sheep talk. We never heard a sheep speak. But this really is the language of a sheep. And that sheep was David. And he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now this psalm has been read in many, many, many circumstances and in many places. It's been read at funerals. Of course, we don't like to think about funerals. But it can be read there. I've read it at funerals. And it's been read at weddings. Oh, that's a vast change. I don't remember what the man preached about the day that I got married, but this psalm is read in very, very many circumstances, and it has always got a message. It's not only a psalm that speaks of the language of a sheep, but it's a psalm that is marked by certainties. You know, we go through life and we don't know this, and we don't know that, we don't know something else. The man that wrote this psalm was David. He was a king in Jerusalem. A great king in Jerusalem he was. But there was no ifs and buts and maybes. He wrote this psalm with words and language of certainty. And you know, when we live and go through life, we need to be marked by certainty. You know, when we talk to people back home in Ireland, and we talk about this life, and we talk about the things of the world to come, and they will tell you, well, I don't know. You know, if you'd been speaking to this man David, he wouldn't have scratched his head and said, I don't know. He speaks about certainties. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. No doubt about that. And then he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No doubt about that. And you might say to me this morning, is it possible for me to have that assurance? Of course it is. Most certainly, it's possible for you to have this assurance. But I want us this morning just to look at some of the language, some of the words that this man wrote. You know, David speaks about life. And life is a wonderful experience. The most of my life's behind me. And there are many here today, and most of your life's behind you. Of course, the little ones here, and naturally speaking, most of their life is in front of them. But most of life is behind us. And here, this man David, he speaks about the beginning of life, the commencement of life. And in Psalm number 58, and in Psalm number 51, he speaks about the commencement of life. And we might ask David, how did you begin life? Well, he would tell you, he said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, David says, I was born a sinner. Of course, it's difficult to see that little babe just coming into the world, as maybe just a few hours old, or maybe a few days old, and mother takes that little one in her arms and caresses it and kisses that little fellow, that little girl, whatever. And father comes in and he sees this little newborn babe. And it's all so lovely. Those tiny little fingers and hands and feet and eyes and little eyebrows and all the rest of it, little ears. All the rest. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that that's a little sinner? But that's what God says. And that's how I came into this world. I came in a sinner. So David speaks about the beginning of his life. And then, of course, if we turn to Psalm number 90, David speaks about the end of his life. 70 years, the limit. But then he says, if by reason, we want another 10 years or so. We've been hearing about this gentleman, 99 years of age. I had meetings in West Bank outside Vancouver, about 400 miles east of Vancouver a few years ago. And there was a lady there. And she came about, four nights every week. And every Sunday afternoon. You know how old she was? She was 102. 102. Well, I lately never see 102. But there's that lady came. And she was a Christian. Oh yes, she's since passed on to be with Christ. But the end of life had come for her. And she was saved. She knew Christ as her Savior. So the psalmist or the writer of the 90th Psalm says, concerning those 70 years, and if by any reason. And then he says, the days are numbered. My days are numbered. But then he speaks in Psalm 32 about the joys of life. And that's a lovely psalm, you know. Psalm number 32. He says, blessed, oh, happy is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are forgiven, and whose sin is covered. That's a wonderful psalm. And David enjoys the experience of having his sins forgiven. I don't know anything better than knowing sins forgiven. I think about 2 years ago, I was coming out of a little shop in the village of Dunmurray. Some people here know it. I was buying my wife a birthday card, or maybe it was an anniversary card. I can't remember. It was a card for my wife anyhow. And I had got the card, and I was coming out. I was singing. It was a nice morning. We do have nice weather in Ireland, by the way, and we do have blue skies from time to time. There's someone here told me today about somebody who said been to Ireland and they hadn't seen blue skies. Well, we have seen blue skies. Of course, we've been living over 21 years there, you know. But I was coming out of this shop and I was singing a hymn. And this lady met me at the door. She says, there's somebody happy. Well, I said, you know, when a person's on their way to heaven and have their sins forgiven, we've every right to be happy. And we passed on. And there is a happiness when sins are forgiven. But let's look at this psalm now, because David, as he writes this psalm, he uses some words that are very, very important. He speaks about my soul. My soul. That's a very important part of my being, my soul. Man is made up of a tripart being. We often call it body, soul and spirit, but that's not how the Bible puts it. The Bible puts it the opposite way. Spirit, soul and body. But we have a soul. Every one of us a living soul. We have had a beginning. But we'll never have an end. And whenever life is finished for me, and for all of us, we shall still be living. Oh, not in this body. But our souls will be alive in eternity. The great forever. I wonder, how much do we think about my soul? You know, if I were speaking to boys and girls, I would have perhaps if I was preaching about the soul, I would have an orange. Or I maybe would have an egg. And I would say to the boys and girls, what do you see? Oh, and one little boy will shoot up his hand and say, please, sir, I see an orange. And a wee girl will put up her hand and say, please, sir, I see an egg. No, you don't. You don't. Don't see an orange. Don't see an egg. The real orange is inside. It's only the skin outside. It's only the peel. It's the shell that's outside. The real egg is inside. And as I look at you this morning, I see you all lovely and dressed for this lovely summer day. You see me behind this desk. You don't really see me. And I don't really see you. The real man, the real woman lives inside. And we're going to live forever. Do you know, God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And every one of us, we're living souls, and we shall never die. Oh, this body will lie in a casket one day, if the Lord doesn't come. They'll put my body in a casket and down into a hole in the ground. But that's not the end. God's word says, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? That's the big question this morning, isn't it? When I leave this world, where will I be? Will I be with Christ? In heaven? Or will I be in a lost eternity and in the darkness without him? It would be tragic to think about that, wouldn't it? But it'd be worthwhile. And then, of course, he speaks about death. Just somebody is very morbid, but that's a psalm. You see, I didn't put the word death into this psalm. He speaks of the valley of the shadow of death. And of course, when God puts words into their Bible, he puts them in that I might read them and that you'll read them and that you'll understand. And of course, we don't like to think about death, but we have to think about it. I don't know whether you sing that little hymn here in Australia or not, but here's what it says in the hymn back home in Ireland. Death reaps its sheaves in every hand. The old, the young, on sea, on land. And that enemy is a dreadful enemy. The word enemy appears in this psalm as well. And you know, we have enemies. Death is an enemy. We try and keep as far away from death as it's humanly possible. We'll hold on to life and those strings that are attached to life as long as we possibly can. But you know, the time will come. Ladies and gentlemen, the time will come when we'll have to leave this world. One night I had a phone call. Back home, I was having gospel meetings in an area outside the city. And it was my brother who called me about 11:30 at night. And he said, well, could you come down? And he lived in the little village of Carrickfergus. I went down, arrived there after midnight, and found that his wife was dying. I read this psalm to her. I prayed with her. And then what impressed me most of all was this. That I held her hand. Her husband, my brother, held her other hand. And I held her hand. And while I was holding her hand, she slipped into eternity. And what impressed me was this. With all my strength, I couldn't hold her. I couldn't keep her. She had to leave. And the time will come when I'll have to leave. And my friend, I say this in love to you. I say this with compassion. One day you leave. You'll have to leave your families. You'll leave your comfortable homes. Leave your friends. Oh, I know we don't like to think about it. But the truth of God is this, that the wages of sin is death. But then, he speaks about home. He doesn't actually use the word, but he uses it's inferred. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If I said to David, and you said to David, David, when you're going down this old dark valley, and when you find that the doors of eternity are opening and you've got to go through, where are you going? Where are you going to? It's an awful thing to leave this world not knowing where you're going, isn't it? But David, David, do you really know where you're going? Oh, yes, I know where I'm going. I'm going home to the house of the Lord. I'm going to be there forever. And you know, my dear friends here in Sydney, I can tell you that's where I'm going. You know, home, it's one of the loveliest words in the English language. I've got a little home over there in Lisburn, where my wife and daughter are at the moment. I have two other boys, but that's home. And I always think, while I enjoy the homes of other people, and I'm very happy staying with Dr. Wilson here and his dear wife, and they make me feel at home. And time and time again they said, feel at home. And I do feel at home. But you know, it's not home. It's not really home. Did you ever consider that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, He had no home? He made worlds. He flung them into their various orbits, but He never made Himself a home. When He talked about home, it was always heaven. And that's where He is today. That's where my home is. I'd like to ask you, in the quietness of your heart, before God, have you got a home in heaven? Now, you'll not push this along to your friend beside you on the chair. You won't. And you won't think of your neighbor that used to live beside you down the street. No, this little question is simply for you. Have you got a home in heaven? Hey, please, don't sidestep it. Sure you won't. Don't try and evade it. Sure you won't. Don't try and get away from it. No, we need a home. And we need an eternal home. And there is a home. There is a home above, from sin and sorrow free. A mansion of eternal love, designed and formed by Thee. You know that home? We never grow old. We never get old. Oh no. No furrows on the brow. No tears ever fall. Death is never known. No crepe on the doorknobs. They used to put crepe on the doorknobs back home in Ireland and in UK, so that when people knock, it wouldn't make such a loud noise. And they put a little piece of crepe on the door. No crepe on the doorknobs of heaven. No funeral train in the skies. No graves on the hillsides of glory, for there they shall never more die. The old shall be young then forever. Transformed in a moment of time, immortal, will stand in His presence. The stars and the sun to outshine. That's where my home is. I was to somebody, I'd like to be there. And I would like to be sure I would be there. Well, you know, David speaks about my shepherd. My shepherd. That's likely one of the sweetest expressions in this psalm. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He was a sheep. And you know, we all know the story of sheep. 132.6 million sheep in Australia here. But they all got the same nature. David realized that one day, that shepherd not only loved him, but one day died. The Bible speaks about the good shepherd. What did the good shepherd do? I've never known a shepherd to either lose his life or give his life for a sheep. If a sheep found itself in a dangerous spot, I've known them up in Shetland, when they were unable to get that little sheep, they would shoot it. But I've never known of a shepherd to die or give his life for a sheep. But I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus did. The Lord Jesus came away from heaven as the good shepherd to die on a cross, to give his life, to shed his blood, that people like you and me might be found and lifted from the dangerous and from our sin and brought into a place of safety to be with Christ forever. And I think of that cross we were singing about it. We were singing about that cross this morning. I wonder, did that cross mean anything to you? It means everything to me. I'm not talking about a wooden structure now. I'm talking about the man who died on that cross. Do you know who he was? He was God's Son. The maker of the universe. As man for man was made a curse. The claims of law that he had made unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers formed the bough that grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The thorns that crowned his brow. Yes. The nails that pierced his hands were mined in secret places he designed. He made the forest whence had sprung the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sky that darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The sun that veiled from him its face, by his decree was poisoned space. The spear that spilled his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks his hands had made. The throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years. But a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow. That's the man of Calvary. I'm glad as a wee boy of 12 and a half years of age, I realized I needed a shepherd, I needed a savior. I realized I had to face eternity. I realized that one day I would die. And one night, about 9:15, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Shepherd. I wonder, is he yours? You know, it was a little Irish boy. He was visited one day by a preacher. And of course, sometimes when a preacher comes into a home and he sees a little fellow or a little girl, sometimes they teach them certain things from the Bible. Well, this preacher taught this little Irish boy. Indeed, this little Irish boy, his father was a shepherd. And lots of sheep in the south of Ireland. And so the preacher taught him, "The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want." And to get him to remember it, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he tried to indicate to the little boy the importance of this shepherd, this Savior, being his very own. And he caught his little fingers and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd." All right to think of the Lord being a shepherd and being the shepherd, but it's most important and more important than all to know that he's my shepherd. And so the preacher taught this little boy to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that little boy came to know the Lord Jesus as a Savior later. But you know, one night that little boy was sent out. He was sent out to find a lost sheep in the storm, the snowstorm. And he never returned. The father and mother and all the neighbors gathered round to go and search for the boy. And the next morning they found the boy. They found his body. And their little boy was dead. And as they uncovered the snow, they found that he was holding on to a finger. Of course, they didn't think so much about it, but they did remember that he was holding on to this finger. And they brought the body home. And they thought that they would send for the preacher to take part in a service, funeral service. The preacher came. And in course of conversation, the father said to the preacher, "You know, when we found the body, he was holding on to a little finger. And we wondered why was that." The preacher told him the story. What had happened was this. That this little boy, in his last moments on earth, he appreciated that the man who died on that cross of Calvary was the shepherd who died for him. I wonder, could any of us here that came into this meeting this morning without a Savior and without a shepherd, I wonder will we be able to leave today, as it were, like the little Irish boy? "The Lord is my shepherd. I trust that you will trust him as your Savior."